Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, October 3rd, and yes, Rachel is back.
I'm back.
She's back. I'm happy. We're back on the saddle again, and we're ready to go. Mm-hmm. We have an excellent, fascinating guest in the studio. Well, I don't know who she is, but we'll find out afterwards.
She's fascinating to me.
That's true, right? She's beautiful, and she seems nice, and she came here with Liz, who's a good friend of the show. So we're going to have a party here. Yesterday was actually a funny show. Kay was here, and we had a singer and her manager. And I don't know, I was really funny yesterday.
Yeah.
And yeah, I even surprised myself. And I thought, wow, you know, I'm hot shit. Mm-hmm. So there you go, you know. But
if I do say so myself. He's also humble.
Yeah, if I do say so myself. But no, if I made myself laugh, then that's good, you know. So you were on a trip. You went on a trip to Vermont.
I did.
Back
I went
to your school days. Did it take you back in time too?
Oh my gosh, it was a good trip. We went back. I went to Vermont, which is funny because I was saying I went to a store the other day and they asked me where I was going. I told them Vermont. They were like, "Where's that?" Which is
funny.
You know, I don't blame people. It's not really a place most people go when, especially when I tell them that I'm going on vacation there. They're mostly like, "Why would you do that?"
Right. But it is beautiful there, right?
It's so
it just
beautiful.
Nobody gives it a chance.
Well, it's just for me. I'm not a cold weather person. I love, you know, nature and being outside. But Vermont in the summer, New England in the summer, the spring, the fall. I mean, the winter for some too, if you are into that, is just so beautiful. I mean, the beauty. I was trying to describe it to someone. I was like, it takes your breath away. It's just you're so surrounded by just landscapes that you could only dream of, it you know, right. It's so stunning. So
right,
it's a very grounding place for me. I try to go back there once a year to just, you know, detox myself from the city and kind of just become grounded and, you know, detached from, you know, my devices, which I still had a hard time doing. I was very much attached to my phone still.
Yeah.
But I got to see a lot of people, my teachers. I sat in on a creative writing class that I wanted to sit in on.
And how was it?
It was so cool. And I got to connect with some students and I did the student radio there. I shouted out LA Talk Radio.
Oh, cool. What did you do? Like they invited you as a guest?
Yeah. Cause they like seeing, students who have gone to this school and are going out and doing their thing and, you know, right. becoming successful. And so nice. I think it's good for the school as well to have people who come back because, you know, I also went to school in Florida and I also went to school in D.C. And like, I don't go back to those places to visit. This place means something.
So your heart is something.
Yeah, it was very much a foundation for my, you know, success, at least the momentum of my life. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And you saw good friends?
Oh yeah, I mean, I saw my academic advisor. I saw so many good people. I stayed with I don't even know how to describe them. They're literally like second parents to me. Their names are Kim and Brant, and I used to work at the bookstore manager, and Kim was the bookstore manager or at the bookstore, and she was the manager. And So I was surrounded by a bunch of mentors and just people that meant a lot to
me. Very cool,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. You know, you go to a place, you go to a vacation. It's not like other people going to enjoy some scenery. You go in because you have memories there. You have some roots there.
The best part was
it's like going home in a way.
I got to see, it was very much like a homecoming for me. And my college roommate surprised me. Well, one, I was going to see, she was going to come up on Sunday or Saturday to spend the day with me. And then another one of my college roommates hopped in and like, came up and surprised me. So when I walked out the door, I saw my friend Courtney in the front seat, and then I see Lacey in the passenger seat, and I was like, the band is back together. And so we decided it would be good to go up to the school and just like give ourselves a tour. Like we just unannounced dropped in on a Sunday. There's no academic faculty there. There's just students. We look like complete weirdos roaming the school, but if you saw the school, we'd actually fit right in. And so we just kind of walked around and we just you know, I somehow, we were a big fan of Chicken Patty Day back in the day. Like, that was the best day to go to the dining hall. So we were just kind of walking around asking different students if it was Chicken Patty Day, which some were like, so weirded out by
it. Really?
Us.
They didn't know
one
what
girl,
you meant.
One girl, no joke, she had cat ears on. And really? Like, when I asked her if it was Chicken Patty Day, she literally looked at me and was like, it's brunch. Like, I was the weirdo. I'm like, you're wearing cat ears. Like,
man, people are fucked up. Oh my god,
college, man! Like, it was such a great place to be weird.
Now, yeah, right.
Now you're just weird, but there you're just, you know, yourself. So it was, nonetheless, it was a good time.
Yeah, no, I know, I can relate because I used to go back to schools that I went to after we'd moved, and it was nice, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a couple of things we're going to cover before we get to our guest. First of all, is Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
And you have a closeness to the city because that's where you grew up. That's where you,
yeah, was,
that's your home.
Born and raised in Las Vegas. Yeah, so actually, my trip was amazing. And then I landed on Sunday night at like 11 o'clock, 10:45. And as I land, I turn on my cell phone and I go on Facebook and I see just a bunch. Like I said, Vegas is a small community. So if someone posts something and I have so many people from Vegas, because I was where I went to school, born and raised, like everyone on my timeline is from Vegas. So like I started to see videos from the concert, like, and I was just like watching this unfold live. And like I said, you know, you are from Israel, like you live in a place where terrible things happen in crazy. I mean, people from other countries, they witness such horrible events. And of course, America is now becoming a place where these things are happening more and more. So I can now understand what it's like when something happens in your hometown, and just like that small hometown feeling of like, just because maybe your family is okay, but you know people who were hurt or affected, and it just hurts your heart. It's a personal attack, it feels like, you know, like,
yeah.
So, I mean, it was just, I'm still in shock. I'm kind of like trying to, I'm grateful to be back on the radio today, because this is definitely helping getting me out of bed, because yesterday was a tough day, and Sunday night was really, really tough. And it's just a sad thing, you know. There's no words, because there is no reason for things like that. It's hard to understand something like that, because there's no reason it should happen.
Right.
So I think for me, and I think for a lot of people, when tragedy happens, we look to find meaning behind it and reasoning. And when there isn't, there's that uncomfortableness. That's where the gray space lives, that area where the only thing is just that fixes that, and not fix, the only thing that helps heal it is just time and giving back and being a part of the community and, you know, being proactive in a positive way. And I will say that there are a bunch, and with seeing what's happened in Vegas, and lots of people immediately, the blood donation places were full because so many people in that community came together. And let me tell you, Vegas is also politically very divided. We are very much like a lot of big cities, where there are a lot of people on one side and a lot of people on the other. And it was great to see a community come together, put that aside, and just step up and really just, you know, put what's important first. But I am sick with the people who are putting up these conspiracy things and the hoaxes and the fuck. And I don't like
all the blame and all this shit.
It's not
too,
what
you
it's
know?
About. What yeah. we need to love each other, and we need to, and I'm not going to sit here and go on a political rant about gun this and violence or and rights or whatever, but there needs to be a discussion. Things need to be talked about. Like, we need to be better, whatever that means. You know,
yeah.
And that's all I'm gonna say. It doesn't, and it's not a political thing. It's a human kind issue.
Right.
So that's.
But
all
you know,
say
and that's
that.
The thing. I mean, I don't think there's any blame to go around. I think it's very simple to say, you know, this is a one person's responsibility here. You know, and the thing is, I'm frankly surprised this shit doesn't happen more often. We have 330 million people in this country, and you know, you have one person shooting people once in a few years. So I'm saying, for the most part, we're safe, and you're always going to find these people that are, you know. We talked about mental illness and all that, you know. So who knows? But I'm glad that that most people are not drawn into this blame, all this blaming that's going around and everything, because people always look for someone who's responsible,
yeah,
who's not them, you know. But but it's totally surreal to see those pictures from that night.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad that we live in a place where that happened, where this is going to keep happening. And it just makes you want to live more for the moment.
Right.
You know,
and everything.
And
yeah.
I, and you know what? And you know me, Sam, like, I'm the first person to admit I'm not religious.
Right.
You know, I don't know if I would say I'm even spiritual, but I'm all about the universe and being a good person and connection and whatever that means. But like, I now understand why people pray before meals. Like, I understand why they take a moment to just be grateful.
Right, so. Right. No, absolutely. Well, I'm glad. Okay, so we could be talking about that all day, but we do have a guest waiting. So just for just a couple minutes, I want to bring up Tom Petty. You just went to see him.
Another thing.
Right?
Crazy.
You just saw him when? Yeah. 2 weeks ago?
A week ago. I saw Tom Petty. My boyfriend took me to go see him. And it was a good moment, too.
Yeah, right?
And I put up a picture. It was so funny because, I mean, poor Ben, all he wanted was Tom Petty to sing one song, and he didn't.
Really?
he played my favorite song, obviously. He played Last Dance with Mary Jane, so I put up this picture. I was like, I'm sorry, Tom Petty played my favorite song and not yours, like a week ago. And so I looked back yesterday, and I just put a whole album up of just like three or four videos from the concert that I took. I only took a couple, but I just am grateful that I got to see his last concert.
Yeah. I'm curious, what song was it that Ben wanted?
Oh, what was... I could find out. I could look up on Facebook, okay, but I can save it for...
I just want to give a couple of notes from Tom Petty, because I loved him. You know, I grew up with him in the 80s. He was amazing. And this is a song that I used to love, you know?
He did play this song.
He did? This is shitty quality, this one. Let me find another one real quick. Okay, because this song is amazing. You know? There we go. This is the way to hear it play. I mean, the song to this day, it's been around for 35 years. Anyway, that's Tom Petty for us, and we wish him farewell, I guess. 66 years old.
Yeah, you know? Crazy. Just crazy. Just
well,
everything.
People have to go, you know, at some point they have to go. Not everybody goes at the same age.
No, but it's just, you look back and you think, you never think in that moment, this person has 5 days left on this planet.
Right.
And this is the last concert you'll ever, you know? Next time they're playing, it'll be up in heaven, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, we have a gift from all these people because everything is recorded now, you know? So we have records of all that. All right. Well, let's bring in our guest right now who's sitting here rather impatiently, I think. She wants to talk. She has things to say. We're joined by Lakshmi Devi. Welcome to the show.
Hey, hi there.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Lakshmi Devi, are you visiting us from New York?
Yes, I am.
Is that where you live?
Uh-huh.
Oh, and where did you grow up? In New York as well?
Well, I was born in New York. I did a bit of schooling in New York. And then after that, I was raised in India.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yes.
And so from what age were you there?
Well, I think I went back when I was 8 or 9 years old.
I see. Okay. So you really did. You growing up in India.
Yes, I did.
Oh, wow.
And I kept coming back. for like a vacation every year or two. So I was really used to the city, but I never really wanted to kind of settle down.
Right.
But then I guess my, you know, the course in life kind of takes you places, and I landed up becoming a New Yorker. So, so much for that. I came for a vacation and just never left.
Yeah.
Right, but, you know, right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what was it like? Well, I guess you were still young, but mm-hmm. was it hard for you moving to India, having grown up here at 8 years old? A totally different culture, right?
Here's the thing, because I'm Indian, it's not like we have a lot of opinions, so we kind of just do what we're told, you know. So you don't get to complain, man. I mean, you just go to school, right? You study, and then you study more, and then a lot more.
Very disciplined.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, I remember mosquitoes. That's about it.
Really?
You know, yeah. But then you didn't really get to complain.
Did you live in the big city there in India?
Oh, well, I come from the southernmost part of India. It's called Kerala.
Okay.
And I'm from the capital city. But don't get me wrong, when I say capital city, it's so tiny.
Uh-huh.
It's a very geriatric town. People are going to kill me for saying this, but it is true. It's more about politics than anything else. Growing up was interesting.
Yeah.
But I kind of moved away as soon as I could because I wanted to see the most of the world. And so I landed up in different cities in India while doing college and all of that.
And plus, I'm sure you're familiar with the language. Did your parents speak Indian?
Oh, yes. They were very particular that I learned the local languages. So we actually had a rule at home. It was 5 days in a week you had to speak in English. And 2 days in a week, you had to speak in our local language to make sure that we weren't kind of mixing both up, you know, because we landed up with a jumbled language.
And that's what happens to kids that where parents speak a different language, you know? That's what happens.
No, it's very true. It's very true. I think 5 days a week, English was because we were going to school and, you know, that was the main language. But then on the weekends, we were at home. So, you know, my parents were very particular that we kind of learned how to read and write. And, you know, we weren't one of those. We're called ABCDs. Which means American-born confused Daisies.
I love that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, well, you came here because you're an actress. You're into film and everything. And we'll get to that. You know, we'll definitely get to that. I know Liz wants us to get to that. But we're going to find out more about you because you seem fascinating, like I said. You know, having lived in two different cultures and all that and back and forth. But you're American for everything. You were born here. You grew up here.
Yes.
So, so most of your stories are from... Okay, so you were in India, let's say, starting at 8. What age did you come back here? I'm trying to picture. Did you come by yourself or did you tell your parents, you know what, I got to go back?
Well, it was... I have siblings, so I have an elder brother and a younger sister. Okay. And both of them came back to New York, you know, and, you know, they're married and they're working, and I was still in India, Desi girl, and I was like, I'll do vacations. I'm staying at home because I wanted to stay closer to my parents.
Right.
You know, I mean, you have three kids, and one fine day you wake up and there's no one at the house. So I kind of, you know, I felt a little responsible, but then... It just, you know, your calling is your calling, man.
There you go.
I finished up one movie. I came here staying with my sister, and I came for a 2-week vacation, and I just never left. And that was a year and a half ago.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So it's pretty recent.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow, very cool. So, so you decided you're going to take charge of your life now that you can and move away. Did your parents stay in India?
Well, yes, my parents are still back in India. I mean, I kind of took charge of my life kind of way back. I mean,
way back.
I was always interested in the arts, but I didn't really know that was a career option because where I come from, it's not.
Right, right.
Know?
It's just something you do for fun.
Exactly.
Right?
It's an extracurricular activity. It's not your job, right? And all the women in my family are doctors and all the men are engineers. I mean,
really?
Yeah, it's good. That's just how it goes. So, my mom told me if you want to keep doing dance and drama, you have to keep studying. So I landed up in medical school. So yes, I am a doctor.
Really?
So I finished medical school.
You did finish medical school.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
And
but
then
it can show you how strong the desire to be creative is,
right?
To let out your stuff because
yeah.
Yeah, but you do have another job to fall back on, right?
That's not true.
No.
I kind of... So when I was back in India, by the time I finished, I practiced for a bit, and then I realized I couldn't take both of them together. I wasn't doing justice to either one of them. So I completely quit practicing medicine. It's for friends and family only and emergencies.
Well,
and
your family was supportive of right?
Oh, my God. I mean, my mom and dad had sleepless nights, and they thought I was being lazy and looking for,
I'm pretty,
you know, you just go and pose. And my mom's like, what are you doing? You know, is this a job? And even when you get into movies and you're acting, I mean, it seems as if, you know, you're kind of climbing the ladder, but for them, it's like, for how long?
Yeah, right.
You know, for how long?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the only thing they ask you all the time.
Yeah.
But now they're extremely supportive.
Very good, because you've shown them, you know. You know, the story is usually, you know, when you go to somebody and you want them to believe in you, you got to have something that you already finished.
Oh, of course.
You know, if you just come up with ideas and stuff, nobody wants to hear, you know?
That's true, that's true.
I come from a family of lawyers, literally.
Oh, there you go.
All lawyers. Like, every single one of them. I'm like, I want to be a comedian.
And they, you know?
They're like, that's really cute. We appreciate that you want to do your comedy thing. I'm like, it's not a comedy thing. This is what I want to do forever.
You know that I can actually get paid for this?
Like, I have, exactly. Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Oh.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's true. You know, as a parent, I mean, our parents were like that. Then we become parents. Mm-hmm. We're like that.
Of course. Because,
you know, you want the best for your kid,
that's
you know.
So true.
And
that's
you
so
know
true.
How hard it is as an adult. You know how hard it's going to be for the kid to succeed, you know, because there's so much competition.
But I think
right?
also the thing is like more than anything, parents just want their kids to be happy. Mm-hmm. And like they're not. Kids aren't going to be happy doing what other people expect of them. They're going to be happy even if they have to struggle for what they love. Because at the end of the day, you're going to struggle. So you might as well do it for something you want to do forever. And because no matter what, nothing is going to be handed to you easy, but you might as well like what you're fighting for.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just so self-destructive.
No, absolutely. You know, so are you like a rebel? Do you feel you're rebellious in a way?
You know, I wish I could actually say that.
Really, but
I'm
you're not.
These whiny, twiny, you know, why would you let me do sort of people. It's so embarrassing. You know? I mean, I can't, I don't fight against my parents. You know, I have to, you know, they have to be there with me. It's important. I need them to get it. Like the rest of the world, I don't really care.
Right.
But my parents, they have to get it. And it's hard because from their point of view, they hear these people saying nice things. Don't really want to believe it. And then I remember one time I had invited them to watch me in a play. Now, it was a really bad play to begin with, right? And then it was a pantomime. And then on top of that, it was bad writing, everything bad. And to top it off, my voice cracked, you know? So here I have my parents. I was trying to convince them that I want to be an actor. And they're watching me just dying on stage, right? And then I can imagine, of course they don't want to support you. You suck, you know? And how do they tell you that? But then later on, they kind of realize that, you know, no, she's got something going on. It's okay. And now they're like my
that
biggest
That literally happened. I came out to Vegas to do a show at a club that it was too early for me to be performing at. Like, I don't even know how they gave me the spot. And so, like, and the crowd was just, like, such a, like, I'm just wasn't mature enough as a comic to be able to, like, connect well with, or how to connect well with this crowd. But I had, like, so many friends and family there, so they saw me, like, do shitty comedy, but, like, on a, you know, a big stage or whatever. And then, like, I just got done doing, like, a comedy festival, and they I guess looked up you know the tape or whatever, and they were like you know we looked at your tape from the comedy festival, and I was like, oh god. Like, I gotta say, much improvement since, you know, last March and April. And I was like, they're like, yeah, you actually made us laugh. And I was like, oh, thank you so much, you know, like, thank you.
That's funny. Wow. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Lakshmi Devi. Do you have a website where people can follow us?
Yes, it is lakshmidevi.com.
Okay, spell it for people.
LakshmiDevy.com.
There you go. And if you don't remember that, just Google it. I'm sure it's going to correct the name for them, right? Because you're a big name now, right? Now, let me...
Kind of.
You're getting there, right?
Yeah, I always, you know, whenever people ask me questions, I say, Google me.
Yeah?
You know, that's just my Google me.
That's true, right?
Just Google. Don't ask me too many questions.
Right.
It's hard for me to explain my work. you know.
Yeah. So tell us how you really got started in this. What was your first break into making a film? Mm. Are you proud of the first film you made? And then I understand you became a producer too, right?
Yes,
after acting?
Yes, yes.
So tell us about the acting a little bit though.
Well, I started off, I was always doing theater for a very long time, from the time I was a child. I didn't know too much about movies. It was this big, magical thing that right. just, you know, mesmerized me. But I didn't know that, you know, you can actually do that, and those people were real. I mean, I knew they were real, but, you know, I didn't know, no. So a first movie happened because I was modeling, and I said, okay, and I was so happy, and because you're so naive, you don't really know anything, I did my job. I'm always very happy with what I did, because I know that at that point of time, I did my 110%.
That's true,
whether
right.
Whether it was good right. or bad, I knew that that was all that I could do at that point of time, right. So there's not much. I found it kind of hard to see myself on screen for the first time. I mean, it's so big.
Right.
It's just,
right.
it's just too much.
I know, but later it's like flattering, right?
Later it's like, so this is how I look like. I shouldn't be doing that. My lips are going to the side of my face. What the, you know,
yeah,
those
so
kind
you
of
should
things.
Watch your own work, you know. Yeah, they say sometimes you
I think when you're mature enough, critical. You kind of can pick up a small techniques that, you know, you don't want to repeat later on, you
right,
know.
Right.
In the beginning, I remember when I used to watch myself, it was a lot of, oh, do I look nice? Oh, I could have looked better. And now yeah. I really don't care. All
right.
I care about is, am I portraying the character well enough? You don't want to look too pretty if you're not playing that kind of a character. You know, you don't want to distract anyone from the actual story.
Right.
You don't want to have heavy makeup when it's not necessary. You don't have to look for flattering angles. I don't care. I want to play
that's
a story.
That's more of the artist yeah. in you coming out rather than, you know.
Yeah.
That's true.
Thinking more, you're thinking more about the art rather than, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. yourself. Mm-hmm. That's
yeah. And you're right. They do that a lot where in certain parts they just make them too made up or too
no,
pretty.
It's very true. It's
and
very true.
Everybody's pretty in the movies, you know, I mean, and on TV, what is this? You know, it's not the way of the world.
It really isn't.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
I mean, even the bad guys and the ugly people are beautiful.
Are so beautiful.
Right.
When did that happen? Because when I go out and try and date, I don't see any of these people. You know, I really don't see those people. Where are these people?
Right.
You know?
They're on TV.
Yeah,
exactly.
There you go.
You know?
Dating each other.
know? And I think, you see, that's another one thing also. I don't think I see them because I don't really look for them. I cannot deal with someone else who looks at the mirror more than I do.
Yeah.
There's only one mirror person, and that's me.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm kind of a normal mirror person, so I can't deal with the, you know,
for sure.
Too
yeah.
long in front of the mirror, huh?
Mm.
So you live in New York now.
Yes.
I mean, but have you been to L.A. before?
This is my first time.
Really?
Yes,
well, we're going to make you stay. I mean, I can't see her living in New York. She needs to live here, you know. Now, let me ask you this. So as an actress, I mean, you obviously find enough work in New York, right?
Yes,
and you
yes.
do, and you do producing and screenwriting too.
Yes, yes. So oh. I had started off, and then I was doing quite well in India. And my last movie that I did over there was a movie called Masala Padam that I had written also, and it was in a language called Tamil.
Oh,
I went to medical school in Tamil Nadu, so I'm kind of well-versed with the language, and I landed up writing it, and I realized that I always knew that I would write, but you have to kind of find your niche as a writer,
right.
And I think screenwriting is mine, you know? So I kind of have a visual sense, and so I was able to write, and from there onwards, screenwriting kind of took off. And then I moved over here, and I have done a TV pilot drama called A Happy Divorce with Jamal Hodge. And he is kind of a very well-known director, and he's had films screened at the Cannes. And another web series called Wank Bank.
Oh.
Yeah,
wow.
That's I actually,
really?
It is called Wank Bank.
Okay.
It's about a Masturbators Anonymous Club.
Wow.
Yes, 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 yes.
Wow. And that's a movie you wrote?
No, I did. I'm producing it, though. I am producing it. But no, I did not write it. It's a web series. You can expect it in February. We do have a few networks also interested in it because it is hilarious. I mean, I must admit.
It is, right?
Yeah.
But who's going to want to admit they're watching a movie about Masturbators
that,
Anonymous,
that is true,
you know,
that
right?
Is true, but
nobody
then,
wants to admit
it's
it.
A, it's a comedy, though.
It really is.
Exactly, you know. And this,
you know?
That's hilarious.
And no, it's another thing. I mean, I'm not saying, to me, it's a cool thing, you know, because I'm all for bringing sex out there and everything. But why are you laughing?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about it. It's called Wang Bang, the series. It's not about how you do it. It's about when it happened and when you got caught.
Right.
So that's the funny thing.
Wow,
so it's not the process. You're not talking about masturbation. You're talking about when you got caught.
Oh, my God.
You know, so that's
hilarious.
Funny. You
wow.
know?
Getting
yeah.
caught. Yeah. I would imagine you only get caught when you're young. I mean, if you're older and you get caught, it's because you're an asshole, man. You know, I mean, you got to cover your tracks, you know?
That
I mean,
is
what
true.
Is this?
That is
you
true.
Know,
that
it's
is
so
true.
It's so personal, you know, this thing. But that's cool, you know. So so you did this movie. I see it's an action movie, right? The Masala Padam, is that?
Well, it's I don't. It's kind of hard to talk about the genre wise. It has action and it's drama.
I mean, the guy's holding a knife and you're with a camera and all that.
Yes,
cars and explosions and all that.
Yes,
okay.
yes, it has everything.
Yeah.
I managed to pull in everything.
Wow. So this is really cool. And you know, I mean, and she's young. You're starting your career, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you still got a lot of time ahead of you. So that's a lot that you've accomplished
I've
in the short time.
I started my own production company. It's called Fidei Talkies. I work and live in the financial district in Manhattan, New York.
Ah,
and so it, you know.
Fidei, okay.
Yes, yeah, so I call it Fidei Talkies.
Yeah.
And the first thing that I produced was a short film. It's called Don't Be Afraid. It translates, the actual title is Daro Mat. It's in Hindi and in Tamil. And I went to India. I actually flew down to India for like 10 days. I shot it. And now I've been submitting it to festivals. And I'm very happy with how it's come out. It's about how women back in India, or for the most part of Asia, or not even, you know, on a very global phenomenon, apart from, you know, some women that you get to see in America where it's much nicer and you at least are allowed to have an opinion. From where I come from, you're smart, you're capable, and you're really well educated, but you don't have an opinion because you didn't know that you could have one.
Yeah.
You didn't know. Is that a possibility?
Yeah.
I mean, no one's asking you anything.
Right.
But you're smart. I mean, you're doctors, you're lawyers, you're engineers, you're scientists, but you still lack an opinion. You know, so the movie is kind of like about that, and how about this? She's not, you know, it's not this depressed girl, but how she's anxious and how she kind of deal with things. I mean, and it predominantly deals with marriage, and
right.
you know, we have an arranged marriage system to a very large extent. It still exists. You
really?
Know, and there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, if you were to go out in the road and meet people, and instead of that, if you have family, kind of put you together, as long as it's not forced, there's nothing really wrong with
right. it. Right. I mean, I think it developed by necessity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people
that's
actually
true.
Might like it,
yeah.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, find me
it's
someone.
It's obviously
you know?
Worked this long.
Yeah.
yeah
really?
I mean, people don't get divorced over there because, like, again, when you're dealing with a whole society of women.
Well,
who
there's a divorce requires an opinion.
Exactly.
You know?
That's my point. Now they say that culture is being attacked because there's more divorce in our country. Here's the thing. Culture isn't being attacked. We just developed an opinion. Didn't develop it. Just want it. Now we're actually
saying. We acknowledge
saying.
It. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of how it goes.
That's. I mean, I'm really impressed because you've
Thank
done
you.
Quite a few movies, you know, and that's
yes.
very cool. So now, so India has a pretty healthy movie industry, right? I mean,
oh
they call it
God.
Bollywood and all
yes,
that. So,
yes. Everything is about movies.
Really?
Yes. That's all we do. That's our biggest recreation. Like on Sunday, like, you know how people go to the beach over here? There's so many things. You hang out at bars. There are pubs. There's dancing. In India, it's mostly movies.
Right. And people go out to the movies.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember when
yes.
I grew up in Israel, it was
uh-huh.
like that too.
Uh-huh.
But it used to be like that everywhere, you know. But then we changed here,
yes.
and it didn't change there.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
cool. So, but they still have, I mean, obviously all the technologies and everything. They can still watch a movie at home, but they prefer to go out.
That is, I mean,
and
it
be
is
with
changing
people,
a little
right?
bit now. I
yeah.
mean, it's still, I mean, the movie industry, like, it is being affected all over the world because of, you know, digital platforms that are available now. The same thing is happening in India. But then,
right.
by and large, I think we still like going to the movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
I mean, I know, because you sit there with people.
Yeah.
You know, and not only that, but, I mean, you see how much money people spend on going to the movies
yes.
here, and you realize, oh, they must really want to go.
Yes.
You know, it's like for a couple to go out to the movies, it's $50.
Yes.
You know, for
yes.
the tickets and the popcorn, mm-hmm, whatever you're getting, $50. Yeah. You know, and you go, shit, I'll sit at home and watch it for free. You know, or $5 to rent a new movie or something. That's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but the thing is, it's not the end of the movie industry, because the movies are just being watched through different mediums. But
I think from a financial aspect, it does kind of take a hit nowadays, because, I mean, see, when you spend X amount of money on a movie, and you know, if it doesn't run in so many number of multiplexes with a certain amount of ticket sales, it can take a solid hit.
Really?
Yeah, it really can. Yeah. You know.
So. Well, at this point, yeah, I can still see it, but I think they'll get to one point where it'll be like, you know, we can't rely on the theaters anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, look, they used to be afraid of video, and look how videos help.
That is true. I think it's just a transition stage.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think what affects it more is not, I mean, when you can watch it at home, that's one thing, but I think piracy is the biggest problem, mm-hmm, you know. So when you have bootlegged CDs and you put in so much of time, and I'm a filmmaker, I mean, it kills me when I see that. But before I didn't have such a strong opinion, but now it's like so many man hours, so much of money,
right,
so much of debt. I mean, you have investors who, you know, hang themselves at times
because, yeah,
you know,
right,
they take one movie, it flops, then you take another one to make sure that this one, that flops. By the third one, your wife has kicked you out, your children disown you, and then there's just no other way.
Yeah, so it's gambling.
Exactly. It really is.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like every investment, really. But very interesting. So... Now, have there been like big stars in mm-hmm, Bollywood that, mm-hmm, made it in America? That there were like a couple, right, that made it into mainstream here.
Priyanka Chopra.
Mm-hmm. Who is that?
Priyanka Chopra.
She was
the
in
Quantico.
Wasn't she in some?
She was in Baywatch.
Who was the? I thought I was getting her confused with the girl from Slumdog Millionaire.
No, that's Frida Pinto.
She's beautiful.
Frida Pinto. Yes, Frida Pinto also did make a substantial.
Oh, cool.
The same.
And you'll be the next one.
Hopefully.
Yeah,
hopefully,
right?
That
okay,
is the
so
plan.
That is the plan. So tell us, what are you going to do? So, I mean, don't you think you need to be, don't you ever feel you need to be in Hollywood, or is New York serving your needs?
Oh, well, actually, now I'm bi-coastal.
Mm. Oh, okay.
So I shall fly in and fly out and decide where I want to have home. I just signed with a new management group called the Bohemia Group. So I'm very, very excited.
Are they out here?
Yes, they are.
Oh, so
yes,
your trip was worth it?
Yes, it is.
And we just sealed the deal here for you.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. I think being an actor in the States, you kind of have to have proper representation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I spoke with Bohemia, I think they really kind of understand where I come from, and they kind of know how to market the kind of work that I've done, and you know, realize potential. And I think that's very important for me to kind of know who's handling my career, because it is my career.
Right.
So yeah, it's personal, man.
Yeah,
it's personal.
Sure.
It really is.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. So, what is your latest project? Are you here to promote something specific today?
I'm not here to promote anything specific per se. I am here to, well, I can't
to
say
introduce
that.
Yourself to the world, and
yes,
to let people know
yes,
what
yes,
you do.
Yes.
And we appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. I think I was just talking about my projects like A Happy Divorce, which is the TV pilot drama, and of course Wank Bank that I've already spoken about.
Right, so
and
that's going to be
short.
Available where? Where can we see that?
You're going to have to probably wait till February.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, but then it's going to be shown where that Wank
Bank? We're not too sure right now, because we do have, I can't really name them, but I have a few networks that are interested in taking it over and buying it because of the, yeah, it's a very weird and very funny topic, you know?
Right, right.
So I think it's golden, you know?
Yeah,
so
it is.
They're being very smart about, you know, who they're going to give it to, because they kind of want to have creative control over it.
Right.
So yeah, I'm quite thrilled about it.
Right.
You know, I want to see how it goes.
So let me ask you this. On this one, did you actually write it?
Which
this
one? Wank Bank?
Yes.
No. Wank Bank was written by Kevin Martin. He's also directed it.
Okay.
And he does a bit of stand-up comedy here and there. And I think he was a pro basketball player also. And now he's kind of moved into filmmaking. And we have another producer also called Rakesh Shah. And he also worked as a casting director, and a whole entourage. I mean, a whole bunch of wonderful actors who have amazing comedic timing. So
Sounds all like guys. Do you work with any women at all, or are they underrepresented?
I do work with women. I love working with women.
Yes, I would imagine. But you mentioned that. So, I mean, are they underrepresented in the movie industry, women?
Of course.
Yeah?
Yes. Yes, definitely. 110% yes. And here's the thing. You know, when sometimes when women come together and they make a project and you know what happens? Sometimes it's not all that good. And then everyone points a finger and says, oh, you see what happens when women do it? Here's the thing. You want me to put out 100? I can show you 150 projects that men have done and it sucks.
Yeah,
it
has, right.
There is no gender bias. You know, you're just bad filmmakers who are broke. You know, so there's no gender bias in it. But now I think it's starting to improve a little bit more. I'm very enthusiastic about being in America because there's a solid difference that happens over here. At least you get to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Where I come from, they are so underrepresented that it is scary. Mm-hmm. You know, they actually see us as a liability. Even being an assistant director,
really? Wow.
Yeah, it's a security concern because when you're traveling or you have to stay, how are they going to stay safe? Here's the thing: we're unsafe. Pretty much because of you.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly. So, exactly.
You need take to protect.
Yeah. So.
And that's the thing. I mean, in these cultures, I got to tell you, in Muslim culture also, it's like they're not protecting the women. They're protecting themselves from attacking the women.
I know.
Right, because these guys just want to jump on every woman. I mean, you know, and it's I mean, you see that. I remember when they had the Arab Spring, and it was in the Tahrir Square in Egypt. People were demonstrating for peace and everything. They had a problem with men groping women and raping them because they were all together, right?
I wish I could say that I was surprised because you know what happens? In different cultures, for a mass, I mean, it can be any religion, but then there's a sense of entitlement.
Yes. You know, a woman, right?
Yes, yes. They believe that it is their right.
Because women are second-class citizens.
Yes. I actually had an interview and I actually said that. You know, I said that it's so natural for us to be second-class
citizens
all
throughout
history.
And even that women of color are even more so you know what I mean? That's a whole nother, you know, different level of... You know, unfairness.
You know, women of color. And here's the thing. I always say sans religion, race, or, you know, geographical distribution, all throughout history, second-class citizens. Mm. All the time. It doesn't change somehow or the other.
People forget, you know, less than 100 years ago, we weren't even allowed to vote.
And now it's like...
In this land of the free, exactly.
Right,
exactly.
But we've changed. I mean, in the past 100 years, of society's changed.
We are changing. It is slow, but the change is it does definitely happen.
But I mean, definitely, we feel. I think now, you see, at least for me, I never when I deal with a woman. In business or whatever, I never even think about the fact that she's a woman or anything. It's just like it's a person, you know.
Very true.
And I
don't think, but our vice president of this country refuses to sit down and have a lunch and or dinner meeting with someone.
Yeah, without his wife around.
Exactly, without his mom around.
There you go.
His wig.
Right,
but there you go. That's another culture of like the men can't help themselves. You know, you know, and that's why there's so much rape and stuff because the men just take it. They don't. You know, they don't ask for permission. They take it. And that's what irritates me about it. But you know what? That's the culture, right? They have to deal with it. I'm not going to sit here and tell them how to live, you know. But at the same time, so that's why I can see why women become a liability because they're like endangered, right? I mean,
it's like extra security. You can bunk them up with, you know, suppose if you're giving sharing rooms to the crew, you can bunk them up so it becomes an increase in budget. Bathrooms. Wow. Like, suppose if you're doing...
Separate bathrooms.
Yes, yes. That becomes... Wow. Not even separate bathrooms. I mean, like, when you're kind of doing a guerrilla shoot and you're, you know, just taking the camera and walking around and all that, you know, men kind of relieve themselves anywhere and everywhere.
Right,
but women can't.
Just having a place... Yeah, exactly.
You know, so for a girl, you kind of need somebody there. And then, of course, there's a nighttime and then... You know, it's sad. It really is. I mean, there's so many beautiful things about India. There's so many beautiful things. But then there's this one aspect that I believe that will change if people just talk about it.
Right.
You know?
And they probably will. I mean, India has a lot of American influence there, right?
Yeah, we do. We kind of have a very strong global influence. I'm sorry, global influence within reason. Like, we take things that we want to, but then we still stick with our sort of thing. thing. Right. You know, it's like, okay, you guys can do that, you know, but that's not
like
us.
Bollywood. Yes. Yeah. Like, we like mm-hmm. Hollywood, but we're not going to call it that.
Sorry, excuse me.
That's okay. But yeah, that's funny, you know. But it's sad at the same time, too, because it's not very safe for women, you know, and
yes, I mean, there are some cities that are really, really not safe, and then there are other cities that are so safe, it's almost like
really.
Greenland.
So people are more educated and stuff there.
Here's the funny thing: even though they are educated, somehow the other, again, sans religion, race, or you know, economic status and education, somehow the other disrespect towards women is the same
in all classes.
It's the same.
Right.
It really is. At least with the uneducated, they don't know better because they're brought up with a sense of entitlement. With the educated, it's like, yeah, but.
Yeah, but. Yeah,
and
exactly.
Just saying, I'm shrugging my shoulders. So, you know, it's the butt with the shrug of shoulders.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So now, if we want to watch you, your acting, where can we do that? Even in the Indian movies, I mean, do they have subtitles or anything?
Most of them should. Most of them should, from what I know. So.
Yeah, I'd love to see you act in the movie and stuff.
Yes, I mean, it should be there right on YouTube, or if you just Google my name, Lakshmi Devi.
Okay.
And I've done a few movies called Masala Padam or Cinema Company, Nilgavani Salade, and what do you say, so on and so forth. And then I've done a lot of modeling projects, so you can see a lot of those projects on too.
Cool. What did you model for?
Oh, I've done close to over 100 actually national imprint. Whoa. Yeah.
Whoa.
A lot of modeling.
Very
a lot
cool.
of modeling.
Very
yeah.
cool. So you took the gift you got from your creator, and you have packaged it, I think, into an incredible package. You know,
I'm learning.
You know, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, you guys are so young, you still have so much to do, and you've done so much. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even asking you how old you are, but I know the people your age, some of them have not even started yet.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. You figure it out at any age and just go ahead and do it. I'm always surprised by people who complain about life but then do exactly the same thing every day. You want to make a change, learn how to make a change. And then people who trivialize other people's efforts.
That's
you
because
know?
They never took the chance to they obviously, I think people are afraid of failure. Mm-hmm. That's what keeps them. But
that's
I think,
one thing I'm good at.
But exactly,
like I'm
like,
good at that.
Is like I would rather fail at something I love doing because at least there's room to get better. You know, than fail at something I don't even like doing because there's no you're not gonna there's nothing behind that. So. And also just, I mean, some people never go their whole lives never taking a chance on themselves, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
That's very true.
You know, I totally forgot about Liz here. She's totally, we left her out.
She went to the loo earlier.
Yes, but we need to talk to Liz Rodriguez here for a few minutes. Lakshmi, tell us who Liz is.
Well, Liz is an effervescent personality. Now, she doesn't like being called bubbly. She likes effervescent. So you have to make sure that you always...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know, you always kind of...
It's a British thing.
There you go. You know, and she is a publicity goddess.
Oh, yesterday, that's actually, an accurate description.
Yeah, I know.
I actually love when people call someone a goddess. That's a
it is.
Term.
And yesterday, I'm not even making this up. Yesterday, I was out with her for an event, and she was actually called a publicity goddess.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who is this person? You know, she's made my life amazing. I've known her for a bit now, and I think she's really good at her work. I mean, I'm proud to be associated with her because she's a go-getter woman, and you know, you need those on your team.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
you need this. Yeah. And I'm pointing out at her just in case.
Yeah, but let's get close to the mic. I just want to make sure that we know where people can find you and get a treatment from the publicity goddess. From the
now it's all built
goddess.
Up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well. Thank you for bringing me on, you guys. I'm sitting here quietly just listening to Lakshmi tell us her story and about all the wonderful things that she's been working on and listening to you guys. Liz Rodriguez, emrmedia.com. And I'm very approachable. Anyone can email me, give me a call, have a chat, and let me know what PR needs you might have, marketing or branding, and I'm always there to listen.
Sounds good. And where can people find you? Oh, at EMR
Well, is down that, the road, actually, really, from
no,
him.
No, I meant online, online.
Yeah, emrmedia.com.
Okay.
That's the website. That's our website. That's the firm. We've been going since 2004, so we're not fly-by-nights.
Yeah, there you go. You've been doing this for a while.
For a long, long time.
I just love listening to you talk.
I know,
oh,
right?
So sweet. Yeah, I started the firm in England, and I still am between London, Spain, and here.
In really?
Los Angeles, yeah,
oh,
truly.
Wow. So
yeah.
You live in all these places still?
I permanently live here in Los Angeles, but I have satellite offices in Spain and as well in London.
Sounds
and
good.
I have a team. So if anyone needs something happening, I work whatever needs to be done. You know, these days we're international.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're all international.
We all are. Everybody is, you know. I mean, that's the point is, and that's for another show. Lakshmi Devi, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you. It was so lovely being here.
And tell people again how they can find you on social media and everything.
Yes, on Instagram, it's at Lakshmi Devi. That's LakShmiDevy. So it's at Lakshmi Devi. And Twitter is at Lakshmi Devi NYC.
Sounds good. Yeah. Well, much success to you. We hope you move to
thank
LA
so,
so we can
Sam.
See
thank
you
thank
more.
You. Thank you.
Okay, you're amazing.
Thank you.
And
thank you, Sam.
Yeah, there
thank
you go.
Thank you so much, you guys. Thank you. So
thank
much,
you.
Love.
Thank
of
you.
Course, of course. Rachel, thank you so much for coming back.
Of course.
We have you back here on the seat, and that's what's important.
Yeah.
And everybody, thank you all for joining us, contributing an hour of your life every day to be here. We truly appreciate that. That's why we give you the goddamn thing for free. So there you go, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.